Hey everyone, welcome to episode 99 of Formidable Opponents, a show that pits three people who have known each other virtually their entire lives in a series of conversations as we argue what is best in variety of fun, engaging, and critical pop culture topics we all debate about. I'm Randall, and with me as always, Bob and Joseph, and this week's topic is Best Game Show. Welcome to episode 99, closest to a dollar without going over. Game shows have been a television mainstay since, well, the beginning of television. Picture it, you're standing on stage. The lights, the music, the audience, the pressure, there's nothing like it. Throughout the course of game show history, we have seen some triumphant winners and some tough luck losers. Nothing was worse than that fail horn from The Price is Right that used to amplify your pitiful attempts or being eliminated within the first question on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Can you do it? Oh, you got to do it. You got to do it.
By the way, owls don't have large glands known as ink sacs. Just saying, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire contestant? Anyway, good game show legacies continue with new iterations of old games. They're fun, not as expensive to produce, and a great time filler for those slow summer TV seasons. We know the theme songs, the hosts. We've hung in there and shouted the answers to the $200 questions on the Jeopardy board and kept our mouths shut the rest of the way. I mean, we know nothing about 18th century operas, but we'll at least consider it for a future topic. Shows have evolved to incorporate physical aspects, teams of family and friends, and of course, show hosts that better reflect modern times. Long gone is the perfectly coiffed hair and huge teeth. You also don't have to worry about hosts mouth kissing your mother in front of a national audience. What a horrible connected Google search for this topic. Anyway, the history and impact of these shows not only evolved into their own 24-hour channel, they have stayed within our memories, brought us joy, and kept us feeling better or worse about ourselves. This week, Formidable Opponents debates and discusses Best Game Show. As always, I'm joined by two guys who are now old enough to officially be excited when the Showcase Showdown prize is a lovely dinette set. Bob and Joseph, come on down.
Does it have the crystal glasses?
Those are awesome things to wear.
Yeah, you know what? You never, you always pass on the dinette set. Because you know what the next one is? A fucking new car. A new car. You know it's a new car coming up next. Or a boat. You never bid on the dinette set. Come on, people.
That's why you got to win. I don't know. You got to win the whole thing so you get to look at both of them. So you can be like, no, I don't want that shit. Let me see the other one.
The best part is when somebody like who doesn't live on a farm is they have like a John Deere tractor set and they cut to like a woman's face and she's like, fuck, I'm going to sell this shit. I can't do anything with that.
I'll just take the cash prize.
Or somebody who doesn't want to run on a treadmill. Like, fuck that. So, guys, in the history of game shows, what have they meant to you? What is your history with them? Your reflections? What have they meant to you?
It was always a fun way to get through the day if we weren't feeling good. Like if we were home from school, yes. What were we watching? We were watching game shows. And now that we're older, I mean, they've always just kind of been an escape, and they're an escape to from the mundane everyday life, maybe a crappy day. And you just, you know, they're always for the most part entertaining, at least all the ones that we're going to speak about in general. Like some, I mean, there, I know there's game shows out there that just have like, you know, a shitty premise, but they always kind of just put you in a better mood. Cause you're either like pissed off, like, at the choices that the contestants make, or, you know, and you're claiming that you could do better, or you're actually rooting for people. So I think, you know, it's always a good mood changer.
Yeah, it's definitely a good mood changer, dude. Game shows are just so nostalgic to me. Remind me of my childhood, you know, sitting around the living room when I stayed home sick from school, you know, it was that perfect buffer between breakfast and The Young and the Restless. I think I've mentioned that before, you know, between your nap and then the afternoon watching, you know, a $10,000 pyramid. You know, I used to love, you know, watching these game shows as a kid. You know, it's one of the last things I remember doing as a family or with my family. I can still hear my grandma yelling at the TV, pass on that one, Pendeja. You don't want the dinette set. You want the trip to France or the new car. So I used to watch every game show that I could, everything that came out, because it was a fun way to get through the day. And, you know, like Joe said, you always thought you could do so much better than the contestants.
All the time.
I remember there was a block of just game shows from like 9 o'clock to 12. before the soap operas. When you were absent from school, you had Card Sharks, you had Tic-Tac-Toe, you had Scrabble, you had Let's Make a Deal. I mean, you had like these shows back to back. There was like a solid 3-hour block because, you know, when you were going to school, they woke you up. Let's get to school. No, I feel sick. And then you can't go back to sleep. So what do you do? Yeah. You stay up, you eat your cereal, and then you just watch game shows for the next 3 hours. And then you take your nap, and then you wake up and then watch the afternoon cartoons or whatever. But game shows were always there because there was nothing else on television. And just watching that and following along and sort of like helping – it was like an education outside of the classroom. Like you might have been missing algebra that day, but you're learning about a new word in Scrabble, or you're learning like the finances of a new car or whatever. So game shows were always kind of a secondary education for us. I mean, at least that's how I saw them.
You're like, that's how much it costs for a can of soup.
Get out of here, nerd. Shit. Exactly. Teaching us stuff like budgeting and how much a can of soup costs, how much a box of cereal costs. I mean, we learned all that because of game shows. Essentially,
yeah, we also learned how stupid people can be with their answers on Family Feud.
Yeah, exactly. So we've lost so many legendary hosts over the years. Bob Barker, Alex Trebek, Richard Dawson, Chuck Barris, Chuck Woolery. Chuck Woolery's still alive. He just lost his fucking mind on Twitter. Anyway, past or present, who sticks out to you the most as the best host?
Oh, man. Well, it's a tie, but I got to mention this guy, Richard Dawson on Family Feud. This guy kissed every fucking woman, old, young, black, white, Latina, you know what I mean? Beautiful, ugly. His dick did not discriminate against anyone. This guy had more lip than Jesus Christ. He was, God damn, God bless this dude. How he didn't, you know, catch some kind of disease from making out with everybody, at least mono or something, but holy shit, he was the man. He was the man. Let's just say that.
Most well-known, everything is Bob Barker. I mean, I think so. I think he's the most legendary.
Great name.
On for so many years. Very positive. Always, like, even when people made dumb decisions, you know, like he was able to wrangle everybody up, you know. So I think he was the best. He always just seemed to have a calm demeanor. Generally, like, you know, sorry for the contestants if they didn't win, or happy for them if they did. Good dude.
What was up with that skinny microphone? Like, nobody else had that skinny microphone except for Bob Barker.
Okay, you have to have the look, baby. You got to have the look. That was his look. That was his shtick. He had the skinny mic.
Bob, I love Richard Dawson. He's definitely my top three. But this guy would give on, like, full-on, like, mouth kisses. They weren't, like, pecks on the lips. They were, like, the beginning of porns when, you know, what I've heard is when stuff like that happens.
But what I've seen. A few times.
He like would go on full like big wet kiss on the mouth of moms and sisters and aunts and grandma. I don't know. This guy was like everywhere. I don't know.
And they all were into it. Every woman I saw was there like going in for more. Like, holy shit, this guy's got the goods.
I would say for my decision or for my choice, I would say Alex Trebek. I liked his rhythms, his pronunciations.
His mustache.
I mean, that 80s mustache.
Yeah, a sense of humor.
Had a sense of humor. Yeah, he always seemed to be in control. The show didn't have co-hosts or women showing off prizes. It was all him. You know, his dry wit. I remember an episode where he took this short break to talk to the contestants as he always does. And there was this one woman and he asked, you know, they always have trivia about the contestants. And he says, I heard you were into some weird type of music. And the contestant, she responds with, yeah, it's called nerdcore. It's hip hop where the songs are about things like science and they rap about books and having trouble finding dates. It's for people who identify as nerdy. So without missing a beat, Alex Trebek says, losers, in other words. He just says it like matter-of-factly, like, I know who I'm dealing with. I just read the questions, you know? Okay. So if you could pick a game show to be a contestant on, what show would it be? It could be different or the same from your pick, but what show would you like to be a contestant on?
Am I an adult?
any age, yeah.
Let's just say, like, if I were doing it now, I don't know, because when I was younger, I wanted to be on American Gladiator. So
now my back and my knees won't allow me to.
I don't want to do that now.
You can take on Malibu for sure.
You know what? I would like to. I always wanted to do Supermarket Sweep. That just seemed like learning how things were expensive and whatnot, and appreciate it now. Like I know that like there's a revival of it. I don't know if it's still on the air. We're still dealing with this whole strike thing, but like it still seems so much fun to like win food, you know, and money.
Come on, fucking get some turkeys, get some turkeys, ham.
But by the way,
get the shit that costs more money. God damn.
Listeners, we come from the most economically challenged place in the United States, so that means something. He's not lying there. Joseph, let me ask you this, and Bob, you could chime in. What is your supermarket sweep strategy? What are you going for?
For the most
meats,
For the end, ham, for the end turkey, part to get the most money,
pot roast. Dude, you gotta go for the meats, dude.
They had to have had a limit because there's no way.
It was
like
five per
thing
item. Okay. Yeah,
okay. Then like if I'm doing this now.
You're just gonna get the bags of salad. They're like $18.
I'm getting the meat, the salads, the medications, the meat, Tylenol.
Pepsid.
I don't know. Was it just food? I don't think you could get like vitamins and shit.
No, I think you could. You could get whatever you want. As far as I know, you get whatever you want.
But I remember five was the limit and everybody went for the turkeys and the hams. And yeah. I mean, what a fantasy come true. You're in a supermarket and nobody's around you and you're racing to get as many items as you can. Now, my question is, did you keep the food or did you keep the money? I don't know what they did.
Back in the days, no, I think it's always just been the money. However much money you racked up.
The food couldn't be real. I mean, fuck, after touching it that much, they'd be like, yeah, you can just take it home, bro.
And I'm pretty sure it's the same thing. The boxes were empty. Well, that's why I think everything was in bags and whatnot. You know what? I'm not too sure. That's a good little, I guess, trivia. Go look it up yourself. What they did with, you know, the food. Like, how often was it switched out? Like, did they keep it for its shelf life and then, you know, before it, you know, expires, give it away to, you know, a food bank or some shit. I don't know. It's fun. It's a good question.
What about you, Bob?
Great game.
What game show would you like to do?
I mean, well, there's two. Double Dare.
Yes.
Double Dare, obviously. I mean, Jesus Christ, that was like one of the fun.
That's why I asked, like, how
best
old am I?
Games, yeah. How old do you think you are? How do you feel? You're only as old as you feel, Joseph. Double Dare. I definitely think Double Dare. I was a huge fan of Family Feud just because of the answers. And I like the speed round. Like you have to think quick and come up with a big answer. So I think Family Feud would probably be one I'd want to jump on. And The Price is Right too, but only if I could play Plinko. Because Plinko, that's the game, dude. That's the game.
I think on Double Dare, it would be great as kids. But now we're not getting through that padded crank, you know, where you have to like go through. We're not getting through that. Not at this age, no.
I'll take the 15-second penalty to run around it.
I picked Jeopardy. I just want to see how badly I'd get my ass kicked. I think I could hang in there for a little bit, but once we get to Double Jeopardy, they're killing me. Those guys are
fantastic. Start with the letter Q.
Guys, do you have a funniest moment that you saw in a game show?
Yes, dude, I do. So doing our research this week and watching videos, there was a Family Feud. There's a lot of Family Feud that are, I mean, the answer is just hilarious or out there or just completely like, what the fuck? But there was one that cracked me up the most. It was like with Richard Dawson. So this is like in the late 70s. Older couple was in it. And they asked the husband, there was like, something you have to warm up before you use it. And he answered, how about your wife? And I could not stop. Something you have to warm up before you use it. How about your wife? And the wife was right next to him, just shaking her head and smiling. And I thought that was fucking hilarious, dude. Because I mean, they had to have been like 65 years old or something. Just thought that was funny, man.
What about you, Joseph?
One of the more recent ones, I guess. I don't know how too recent it is, but the new, you know, Family Feud. Going back to, you know, exactly like because the answers that people come up with. The question was, it was a Steve Harvey one. The question was, I'm sure you've seen it on the interweb. The question was, name something you'd like your girl to do to your face. And the guy answered, he goes, I want to say sit on it. And Steve Harvey lost his mind.
Yes,
I was like,
yes.
He's like, sit on it. And it's like the fourth answer he got. So he's like, correct. He's like, and what does he say? He ends off with everybody having a good time today.
So I got, I think I got the topper on this one. So I was watching an old episode of the Newlywed Game. And on the Newlywed Game, Bob Eubanks asked the husbands, you know, they would ask the husbands the questions and then they would bring the wives on to answer them and then vice versa. So this question was, I want to read it correctly because it has everything to do with the joke. Where specifically is the weirdest place your wife had the urge to make whoopee? And as you guys know, making whoopee was sex. So if you read in modern times, where specifically is the weirdest place your wife had the urge to have sex? So this one girl came on and she's thinking about it and she just said, in the ass. Bob Eubanks.
Like, what the fuck?
The weirdest place your wife had the urge to have sex. Like, the guy could not stop. The guy just starts laughing. He had that look like, that's why I married her, you know?
That's fucking awesome, dude. Hey, before we move on, you know, we did talk a lot about Family Feud and you know, weird answers or fun answers. And I thought I'd challenge you all a little bit today before we go on. I'm going to give you all four rapid questions. Rand, I'll start with you.
Sure.
I'll give you four questions. Answer right off the top of your head. Then, Joseph, you're going to get four different ones. I was going to give you all the same ones, but I figured you'd probably want to repeat what they said. So I'm going to give you four, Rand. Try to name something off the top of your head. Let's see if we can nail this one. Okay.
Okay. You ready? Okay. Okay.
All right. Here we go. Number one, name something you eat with your hands.
Sandwich.
Okay. Name the easiest sport for short people.
Golf.
Don't say what you're thinking.
Name something you need to take on a blind date.
Money.
All right. And lastly, name something you shake before using.
No, that's after using. Let me see. I think something you shake before using a snow globe. I don't know.
Right. Not bad. Would have accepted whipped cream, but yeah. Okay. All right, Joseph, here we go. Here we go.
Spray paint can.
Yeah, spray paint. All right, Joseph, here we go.
All right.
Name something you do in front of a mirror.
Brush your teeth.
Okay, name something in your fridge that you never eat.
Jelly.
Name a place filled with people that don't want to be there.
The DMV.
And lastly, name something you do when you're drunk.
Call people.
Good answer. Church, it was church's number one answer for that place that you don't want to be.
Yeah, it's probably church or work. I screenshotted all the answers that I was going to go.
I thought about when I said that, I was like, oh, I should have said jury duty.
Jury duty.
It's different when you don't know when they're just asking you. Exactly. It's so different.
Yeah. Well, this name's the easiest short sport for short people. I was laughing because I was like, oh man, Randy's going to fucking wonder what he's going to say for that. Baseball, maybe?
What? I don't know. Is there a sport for short people? Do you guys have a better?
It was horse racing.
Oh, yeah. Horse racing. Yeah.
Horse racing. Yeah. Jockey.
That's true.
I would say baseball too. Smallest strike zone.
That's true. I didn't think about it. I thought golf was just like, you know, you don't have to waste as much energy on the swing or something. I don't know.
Anyway, I thought that'd be fucking funny. It made my night. So
that was fun. That's fun. And a good little gimmick.
Are we going to find out if we had it
right? I have the answers. I can tell you all.
All right, guys, let's go ahead and go on to our honorable mentions. Bob, what do you have for your honorable mentions for best game show?
Oh, okay. So this is pretty. We mentioned Double Dare. I'll top that off with Wild and Crazy Kids. I don't know if y'all saw that one.
Great show. Yeah. Omar Good.
When we were kids. Yeah. Supermarket Sweeps. Of course, I had that one because, you know, who doesn't want to speed through the fucking aisles at a grocery store and throw, you know, 25-pound turkeys into your basket? The Dating Game. I always thought the Dating Game was great. They had a lot of, like, celebrities on it. I saw, like, Arnold was on it. You know, they even had Rodney Alcala. He ended up being a serial killer. That was fucked up. Yeah, they had a serial killer on. But yeah, Arnold, did you see the Arnold one, Ryan?
I did. Joseph, what would Arnold say on a date?
What?
What would Arnold Schwarzenegger say on a date?
I don't know.
God damn, you're supposed to do your accent, Joseph. Come on, man.
I got you these flowers. We're gonna go to bowling, and I can't do
it. Hi, that was fucking perfect. How are you? I'm gonna ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately. Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Jesus, yeah, he's fucking.
That's what he's an ass.
Yeah. So lastly, this is one that came out. I think we're already in high school or something, but it came out later on. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? The first primetime game show that like took off, man. Like, just when we thought the game shows were kind of like just a daytime thing, they busted this out like at 7 o'clock at night with Regis Philbin, and man, it went crazy, dude. It went crazy. A lot of times, that's another one where everybody's like, come on, man, it's B. Obviously, it's B. What the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you, you know, why are you thinking about this too much?
Yeah. What about you, Joseph? What are your honorable mentions?
All right, I got Wheel of Fortune. I mentioned American Gladiators.
You only like that because of Vanna White.
Maybe back in the days. Anyway, I do have Double Dare as well. I think that's a nice one, you know, family thing. Win, lose, or draw. Always thought, like, you know, watching that, I was like, what the fuck are you drawing? I think it's $1,000 pyramid now, but I think it's a great. But yeah, I think back then Bob mentioned it was $10,000. I think back in the days it was $10,000. Now it's $100,000.
Yeah,
$100,000 pyramid. Still a great game. Strahan does a decent job, and it's funny.
Strahan's a host.
Yeah,
he's a good host too.
Yeah, he's pretty good too.
No shit, dude. I had no idea they're still on. Cool.
I got Beat Shazam, a newer game, because I think we've had discussions like I could team up with either one of you two, and we'd probably run this thing. You know what Beat Shazam is, right? You remember what that one is?
Which one is this one?
They played like a short clip of the song, and you got to name who the artist is.
Oh yeah, Beat Shazam. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. I was pretty good, you know my music. So anyway, I liked that one. Supermarket Sweep as well, like I said. And more recently, Holy Moly. I don't know if you watched that one. The recent big production putt-putt golf that Stephen Curry hosts. It's like a massive.
Oh yeah, that one's cool, dude.
You know, it's fun. It's like all these like obstacles that you wish you could do yourself, and putt-putt's fucking fun. Everybody loves putt-putt, right? So those are mine.
You know, I got Beat Shazam as well. I remember I was watching. I think I was texting back and forth with you, Joseph. The final song was Found Out About You by the Gin Blossoms, and they took a long time. I was like, oh my god, we could have won this like within seconds, because I mean, we know the gym, but they always put music out to, like, I guess they always strategically use like a genre of music that the contestants really aren't familiar with. So with us, it probably wouldn't be. You have a choice, right?
I think you do. I think you get some, and I think they might try to throw curveballs at you, like, you know, you might not know this one and you might not know this one, so make a choice between these two. But I think us three, and that's why I said like us three doing it, I think we're all pretty musically, like, you know,
I think we all cover each other's like empty spots.
Yeah, that's true. I think we'd be good at it. So if anybody's listening, recruit us. We'd like to get some
please.
Money.
We'll win a show.
So for my honorable mentions, I have Remote Control. Do you guys remember that MTV show?
Yeah, Remote Control was awesome.
Adam Sandler's The Stud Boy. Yeah. Tic-Tac-Doe. I had Jeopardy. The only reason I didn't pick it for my final choice is because I like games that are played by normal people. Games I can win. Jeopardy, I'd get my ass kicked. Match Game, the old episode, the old series, and the new one with Alec Baldwin. I think he stopped producing those shows or stopped hosting them, but those were entertaining. Win, lose, or draw. At the time, Burt Reynolds was sort of losing his grasp of relevancy, and he had a career resurgence years later, but Burt Reynolds on Win, Lose, or Draw was always entertaining. Double Dare, Mark Summers, a noted germaphobe, and I mean, he was in this crazy kid show. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Just 1999, it was huge. Love Connection, I think this show was the catalyst of the modern-day dating reality shows. People loved hearing about the stories of the date, so producers realized, hey, why don't we just film the dates? Let's show the dates. So Love Connection, huge show at the time. Supermarket Sweep, we talked about it. The Dating Game, we talked about Rodney Alcala. You know, that would be a great Did Not Need to Know episode. If you guys are listening, Jenna and Danielle, Rodney Alcala, I think he has like 130 victims that weren't discovered or something crazy like that. So interesting story. $10,000 pyramid, $100,000 pyramid, Scrabble, Hollywood Squares, washed up comedians looking for a paycheck. Sign me up. And lastly, I have singled out. By the way, guys, who do you like better as a co-host, Jenny McCarthy or Carmen Electra?
Jenny McCarthy. Yeah, I was going to say the singled out show. This is like the Jerry Springfield version of, you know, the Dating Game. Like, I think it was like that new generation for our generation. I love that you mentioned that. That was a good show, dude.
Not much of a contest, because they would always have like these clever things like guys under 5'6", you know, take a hike or whatever. So you knew that the person at the end was going to fit like a criteria.
McDonald's are like, well, fuck him out.
My favorite part of that show is when the guys would cross around the girl and they would like beg and plead, and like she would be able to give like the star back to somebody.
Like a ticket or something.
Yeah, a ticket. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't want to take up time. Did you ever see that spoof that In Living Color did back in the days, like the Dating Game? and they had Jamie Foxx dressed up as like as like a girl. And I don't think Tommy
Wanda,
Tommy
right?
Dressed up as Wanda. Yes, I think. I don't know, but I don't think Tommy is it Tommy Davidson?
Yeah, Tommy Davidson, yeah. Yeah.
No. It was David Alan Greer, right?
David Alan Greer.
It was David Alan Greer. He didn't know what she looked like or like what Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx was dressed up as in drag, right?
So he walks around, you know, the
partition.
Partition.
Yeah.
And he sees Jamie Foxx dressed up as he like loses it. Like he starts to break. So he walks away completely.
Is that like, when he hugs like Jim Carrey? Yeah, like he comes, yeah.
like Jim Carrey tries to help him and they're both kind of like laughing.
Fucking laughing their ass off.
Okay, guys, before we go on, let's talk a little bit about Magic Mind. We talked about it the past two episodes. If you're looking for something that could give you energy or that would give you energy, there's a product we're excited to share with our listeners that promotes clarity and energy. I'm talking about Magic Mind. It's the perfect blend of natural ingredients that elevates your mood, keeps you focused, and even distresses you. All those things in one tiny, powerful little bottle, these cool little shots. I love my coffee, as I mentioned before, but it doesn't give me that boost that I need. But with Magic Mind, it's the perfect match to give you that energy, to make you feel better. I hate these energy drinks, the aftertaste, the way they make my stomach feel. But Magic Mind, you don't get any of those after effects. You get sustainable focus, mental clarity, and calm energy all in a little bottle. You could drink it as a shot. You could put it in any sort of drink mixture that you like, but it will work for you. Trust me. I want to encourage our audience to do themselves a favor, go to magicmind.com/opponents for a huge special discount on Magic Mind because we love our listeners and we want you to feel calm, clear, and focused. It will help you laugh at our jokes more, as we mentioned before. Don't do that one-time purchase, everybody. We want you to do the subscription. We feel better after taking this after a few days. We want you to feel the same way. Magic Mind will never stop surprising you. Hey, if you're not satisfied with a shot, Magic Mind will offer you 100% money back guarantee. No questions asked. That's how confident Magic Mind is. And that's how confident we are that you will love what Magic Mind does for you. Once again, that's magicmind.com/opponents. The link is in our show notes. Click it and stay dialed in, not wired. That's Magic Mind, everybody. So we'll go on with our selections. Bob, what do you got for us? Best game show.
Randall and Joseph, come on down. I chose The Price is Right. Started 1956 all the way to the present. This is the game show that we just talked about and the game show that I watched every summer when I stayed home sick from school. It's the game show you think of when you're thinking of 90s game shows. This is the one that pops to mind. Even in the 80s, even in the 70s, Bob Barker and that skinny Mike. This is the one that comes to everybody's mind. Speaking of Bob Barker, the legend. The most recognized and iconic game show host of all time in my mind. From the suits to the skinny Mike to the beautiful women, you know, he was dating on the side. You couldn't get a cooler host. You couldn't get a cooler man to run this show. He was the Hugh Hefner of game show hosts in my mind. He was the show. And like Joseph liked to say, he was such a nice guy. You know, even when he saw the contestants make mistakes or even when they lost or even when they won, he was a dude to like be there for them. I loved his demeanor, such like the cool Hugh Hefner old dude. But, you know, like I said, all his assistants, you know, he was dating a few of them. I'm sure he got sued, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. I think so. Yeah, I think, he might have fathered a few kids, I think. I don't know.
More than a few. So, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. That's the shit I want somebody to put on my tombstone. I think if you play that music as I'm going down, man, I would love to. That's the way I want to go, man. The show itself is such a great concept. You bring in, you know, five contestants after calling them and having them lose their shit running down the aisles down to the floor. And they get to build on a product like some shitty sofa or like a crappy, you know, necklace or something like that. And it's great to see what everybody thinks something is worth. You know, you have all sorts of bids. You know, you have the high bids, you have the low bids, and then, of course, you have the asshole bids. What's the asshole bid? Everybody knows.
Oh,
right?
Oh my God. The 1 cent over, 1 cent under. I hate that. Yes. Yeah.
500. What did she bid? 500? Oh, I bet 501. Fuck yes, you.
I hate that.
I was waiting. I'm sure. I'm
more times than not, that shit ended up helping the person win, like the one that did the, 1 cent over.
Yeah, I know. Under. Bastard.
And
dude,
you would see, like, the contestants look at each other and be like, you motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
Once we leave here, I'm going to beat that.
I wanted that sofa. I wanted that blender. But we all know what's the best bet. $1.
$1, yeah.
Baby. You got to make the $1.
Can't go over, yeah.
Can't go over. You're always under, man. So, I mean, I love that part of it. You get called out by random. you have to guess the price to get on the show, and then you play one of these little games, and they have a ton. A lot of them are my favorites. We have Hole in One, which is, you know, I play golf and I'm pretty terrible at it, so I'd probably suck at that. As Pathfinder, there's a dice game. There's One Away. I love that one. Almighty Sound Effects Lady, Do I Have One Number Right? I fucking love that. I love when they would do that. Punch a Bunch. Cliffhanger. Who didn't love the yodeling fucking Mottenheimer? And then they fucking love it. They would do the
that's the sound my life made.
The sad music. I mean, I loved all those games. And then, of course, the ultimate Plinko, dude. Plinko was the game. It's still the game. I love that game. If I could go on The Price is Right and just play that game, I think my life would be complete. I could die a happy man. And then from there, you spin the wheel. You got to spin the wheel close to a dollar, like we talked about. That gets you to the Showcase Showdown. And then from the Showcase Showdown, it's you versus your enemy. And remember, if you're first to bid and they give you the dinette, said you pass that shit. You want the trip. You want the car. You want the boat. Who cares if you live in, you know, Kansas? You want the fucking boat. You'll sell that shit. Somebody will buy it up. This show just has like all the great elements. It's not stuck in one particular thing. You know, there's so many different elements to it. Adding on top of that with the legendary Bob Barker. I mean, it's really, really hard to beat. But yeah, that's my pick, guys. What do y'all think?
I had in my notes, Bob, first thing was nothing pisses me off more than the 1 cent over, 1 cent under bid on contestants roll. Why? Because the unfair advantage, it's always the new person that gets called down and they're always last. So what do? They look at the audience. The audience doesn't know shit. And they're just yelling stuff out, and they go 501, and then they get it because everybody else, their bids were way off, and the closest is that 1 cent. So nothing. I always thought that was such an unfair advantage for the 1 cent bid over. But I just think that, you know, you have a product to bid on like an alarm clock, and the last contestant that doesn't know the cost of anything looks at the audience and reviews the most sensible bid, and they go, of course, that one cent over. So the show kind of skews towards the dumbest people winning. Which I guess that's what you want, right? That's more entertaining than an actual intellect going up there and knowing what's what. The further down you are on contestants row, the better the opportunity to get to play. So I always pray that those people end up playing for like a sewing machine or ugly shower curtains or something. You don't deserve a car. Anyway, of course, I love the show. It's like a carnival for adults. That's the way I best see it. I mean, the way it looks, the way it sounds, the games, it's a big old carnival. I love Bob Barker. And even though I like Drew Carey, I don't think of him as a good host for this show. I mean, he fit right in on Whose Line Is It Anyway, but The Price is Right, it's a no. I mean, Bob Barker was just too legendary. What are your thoughts on Drew Carey, guys, as a show host?
I don't hate it. Maybe it's the calm sort of, like we've mentioned, like we talked about, maybe it's the calm demeanor of Bob Barker that we're just so used to. And Drew Carey's not necessarily wild and crazy, but he's I don't know. He's a comedian by nature, right? So he kind of likes to throw in his little jabs, I guess. He makes little jokes here and there. I guess it's just because we watch Bob Barker for so long, dude. I mean, it's just kind of hard to imagine anybody else doing it. So,
well, I mean,
it's not, like, I don't hate it. Let me just say that.
I agree with that. I don't hate you, but you know, there's something about like Drew Carey. I fucking love Drew Carey. I think he's hilarious. Whose Line Is It Anyways? I mean, like, did he drink and watch that show religiously? Drew Carey, he comes off, he's not like the suave, handsome Bob Barker. Like I said, Bob Barker was Hugh Hefner, dude, with the fucking microphone. And then you get this guy's like one of Hugh Hefner's sons, nerdy sons, taking over the business afterwards. You're like, yeah, dude, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. So I feel like, you know, there's none of the models or assistants are hitting on you. Get the fuck out of here. He doesn't quite live up to the hype.
Yeah. They carefully, Price is Right does, vet their audience members who are also their contestants. So you want to know why people on the show look like they're hopped up on speed? That's how they have to act to get on the show. I know I had a friend who had to do an audition just to be a contestant. She didn't get called down, but she was in the audience. Winning a car. So that's the big what to do on Price is Right is to get that new car. So I followed a contestant story, a woman who won an SUV, I believe. She mentioned how after state, federal, and sales taxes, that free vehicle that she won, she had to pay $9,000 for. Imagine winning something and having to pay with money you don't have for it. So the person ended up selling the vehicle for 14 grand. So a nice $6,000 profit, not bad for a day on the show, some fun. But how many people know how to put in the legwork to get that done? So a little tricky there. So when you win a free car, You got to watch out with those taxes at the end. That sort of reminds me of Pimp My Ride. Like, you have a fish tank and a turntable in your trunk. What sort of fees and maintenance does this shit cost? And can a drive-thru employee afford this shit? No, you got to sell it, you know? Other than the big wheel that shockingly hasn't ruptured anyone's spine and Plinko, I don't know if there are any other fun games to watch. I do like the Yodeling Mountain Climber. I do like that game. But some of the other games, they're okay. But Plinko is like the main event, the Yodeling Mountain Climber. That one's fun. The Big Dice, the golf, they're okay. But I think Plinko is the one everybody is waiting to watch. I loved watching the show as a kid in the 80s. And I know some shows have similar formulas. You know, they've kept their similar formulas, excuse me. But they've evolved to accommodate modern taste. The Price is Right really hasn't done this. I mean, other than having males now as the models, they really haven't evolved any other way. It's had its day, but it's stuck in an era where, you know, a below average host and your run of the mill prizes, it's really just stuck in that era. It's antiquated and old, but it's still fun. If I call in sick now, maybe I'm watching the 58 TV series recommended by my friends and family on streaming platforms. But I will say, back in the day, you could not beat Price is Right. I think in the 70s and the 80s and even throughout the 90s, that show was on top. But I think it's lost its luster in the past 30 years. But the memories of that show always keep me going. I just don't think it's sustained. And what do you think, Joseph?
I think that this is probably going to be the one that people most reflect to, because it goes back to, like, you know, like our history. Like we said, what were we watching when we were at home, when we were sick, when we were younger, or when we in the summer, when we weren't in school, we were watching The Price is Right. So it's definitely one of those things that is fresh in everybody's mind. And you know, I do like the games. I never really thought of it like how you described it, this carnival atmosphere. And I think that's actually a pretty cool description. Yeah, you go to this carnival, the game show, and play all these different games to try and win something. There's more fun games than there is boring games. Now, there are some boring games in it, but I don't think that hinders the show whatsoever. The fun ones are obviously, you know, the Plinko. Everybody loves that. Of course, if you were able to get that one, that's fucking awesome. I guess the only real knock on the game is the last game, the showcase, is just, here's a bunch of prizes, guess the amount, and the winner closest to it gets them. Like, there's no real, like, skill other than just, like, thinking in your head.
But I think that's what they do throughout the show, though. The Price is Right. Are you right?
No, I know, but at least some of the games throughout the show are more fun. I guess I have more, like, action or whatever. So that's the only kind of downside. But this is a great game. Like, obviously, I still love this game. If I get a chance to watch, I know they've been doing some kind of primetime version of it. They've done some specials with charity ones, which is great. I know they were doing stuff like that during the height of COVID, and that's really nice. You know, money being generated for charity. With everything that you can say against it, as far as like, well, maybe the prizes weren't as fucking awesome. You didn't think that when you were a kid. Now they're really awesome, or that would be really cool to get. It's hard to argue against it. It's a really solid pick, Bob.
Thank you.
But I mean, there's a reason why I selected mine, you know, because I think it's just a little bit more fun and upbeat. But it's a solid pick, and I think a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of people that go with you because of it just reminds them when they were younger.
You know? I think the nostalgia factor definitely plays a big role.
Yeah, being absent, I just felt uncomfortable when they had that. They had that furniture. It was like a chest, and they would call it a handsome gentleman's chest. Like, I don't know what I feel about that, but
well, I guess I have to bid on it then.
One of the guitar players for band Killswitch Engage was a contestant on. He ended up, it was really funny. Everybody was like, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but it's his name is Adam do something, whatever. He's a guitar player. Anyway, he won like $60,000 and a car, and like, he won a lot of shit. And he was like, that's the guitar player from Killswitch Engage. Anyway,
another notable celebrity, Jesse Pinkman, was on Price is Right.
Really?
I think he won some prizes too. Yeah. I can't remember the actor's real name from.
That's fucking cool. How excited, random, though? How excited would you be if you're sitting in the audience, obviously drunk or at least buzzed, or you had a drink to get on there, and they call your name? Like, what the fuck do you high five everybody? I'd be running out high fiving and doing cartwheels and shit. I'd be excited. I'd be over the moon, dude. Wouldn't you?
For sure. No, it's such a fun game to watch. I think the audience has a lot to do with it, and the audience is always hyped up. So yeah, I mean, it was one of those things that just excited us as kids because people on TV were excited. So, I mean, it's a natural pick, definitely a top three for me, but it's up there. Joseph, what do you got for us?
My choice for this topic is Press Your Luck, the old and new. However, I do think the new is the new version, I guess, or the one that's still currently showing is slightly better as far as, you know, prizes and of course, you know, the money, the amount of money that you can win. And I guess I'll focus more of this argument around that. But the basic principles are the same. So really, you know, the pick is Press Your Luck. So
no whammies, stop.
So as you know, as the title suggests, you know, this game is based entirely on luck. And if you're willing to risk it or press your luck, so to say, you either get life-changing money or life-changing prizes, you know, a heartbreak or simply just a fun time. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, you're going to get one of those three. If you're not familiar, there's three contestants earn spins on the big money board answering a series of trivia questions. If you get it right, you earn a spin. And if you get it right first, then you get two. So there's a little bit of incentive. In the newer versions, they have two rounds in order to build up that bank. And I think that's really fun. The winner at the end gets a chance to play for a massive bonus and moves on to this, you know, final round. Of course, the iconic whammy, you know, the whammy. Everybody knows the whammy. I love that this little whammy, even back then, the little animated whammies that would come out. And basically, if you landed on one, they take your money. So it's some little funny character would come out. I love that the new game still has those exact whammies, you know, those exact characters. They didn't change that at all. They didn't change the way the animation comes out on the screen. They didn't make them CGI. And I love it. And they're little funny things. And I think they're still the same ones that you maybe saw back in the days. So I think that's really cool. The whole experience is a ton of fun to watch. It'd be even more fun to experience it yourself and basically, you know, ask yourself, is it worth it to play on, you know, if you get to that round and whatnot. And what's cool I'd like about this game, at least the newer ones, is if you get to this point, what I think is awesome, at least for the person playing and fun to watch in general, that last round is comprised of not only money, but like prizes that are catered to you. So I think that's really fucking awesome. Like if you're a gearhead, you know, you can win shitload of like, you know, tools and whatnot. Or if you're in like Bob's a Jeep enthusiast, he might win like a, you know, a shitload of
everything's expensive.
You know, yeah, like
whatever you're into, like tool and heavy part. Metal.
Yeah, like just, you know, all kinds of shit.
Air fresheners, yes.
They cater stuff to you. And like, and it's really cool. And like people get really excited when they're like, oh my God, I love cotton candy. They're gonna give me a cotton candy machine, you know, if I land on it. You know, so it's really cool. Like I think it's really, really awesome. Like I said, man, it's a lot of fun. I wish I could try it myself. The audience is always really positive and rooting for you. The contestants, you know, seem for the most part are supportive of each other, even though, you know, you're playing against them. And basically, I love Elizabeth Banks at this point. So, yeah, that's my pick.
Elizabeth, I can't. You won me on Elizabeth Banks. I do love Peter Tamarkin as well. But anyway, I love how Press Your Luck appeals to the lowest common denominator. The entire purpose of this show is the lit up game board. That's the main event. Yes. That's what it's centered around. So questions to garner board spins would be easy. It would be something like, how many sides are there on a triangle? And somebody would buzz in and answer three. And the other multiple choice answers would be like, is it 3, 57, or 246? Because they want to give contestants as many spins as possible because it's focused on this board. Fun. That's the fun, right? A few things that I hate. I hate when contestants talk to the board. Big money, no whammy. Come on, I want that trip. You know, I hate this.
You've obviously spinning. Never been to Vegas and played craps. 7-11, come on.
It also works. I also hate that this game show provides one of the most evil entities I have seen on any game show. And I'm going to give you an example. You get to know the contestants, right? And all these contestants are very jovial, affable people. They're like really humble people, right? And say there's a humble contestant named Byron who teaches inner city kids with special needs. Byron racks up $50,000 plus a trip to Tahiti, plus a billiards table, plus luggage. That's a small empire for a teacher. He's done with his spins. Then you have somebody like, say, let's call her Margaret. She's a homemaker, mother of five. She has two spins. And only $32,000. She passes her spins to Byron, you know, because you could pass the spins here. Yes, so Byron gets another $500 on the first spin. And on the second spin, he gets a whammy and loses everything. The money, the prizes, the trip, the game. That's some cold-blooded shit. I mean, how are you going to give somebody $150,000 in prizes and take all that shit away from them? I mean,
that's like betting 501.
That's why you're pressing your luck. That's why you're pressing your luck.
I mean, you didn't talk to the board.
And what takes your fortune? A whammy, a little brown person who can dance.
That whammy.
So the red. So not only is the show evil, it's racist. Come on. You cannot talk about Press Your Luck without talking about its most infamous contestant, Michael Larson. So Michael Larson, let's talk a little bit about him. Michael Larson was the man who famously memorized the algorithm of the Press Your Luck board. He was a humble ice cream man who borrowed money from a friend to appear on the show to audition and bought a shirt from a thrift shop so he could have something nice to wear. Very heartwarming. You could say a very humble man, 35 years old. He looked like he was 65. You could see his episode on YouTube. Anyway, Larson spent hours reviewing the shows on his VHS player and found that there were five distinct patterns the rectangular lit board would follow. He studied the show so well, he knew the type of contestant that they looked for, excited, humble, self-deprecating. And once he got on, he intentionally landed on the whammy. He knew all the patterns. So what a genius move. You don't have to lose any money. It throws people off your scent. And after that, he took 40 consecutive spins without landing on a whammy. Contestants usually land on a whammy between every fifth to tenth spin, and he kept landing on these extra spins. So when he finally decided to pass up his remaining spins, he had racked up $102,000 and a couple of trips and other prizes. The cash amount was so large, the show had to drop the dollar sign from the podium display because it was only designated for five digits of earnings.
Damn.
But Larson had shocked the system and ran his winnings up to six digits. His spins took so long that they had to run a two-part episode for those episodes. And the kicker was that there was a clause in the contract that if you won over a certain amount, you can't come back on the next show to defend your title, which is a bullshit clause because they would always let people defend their title. Hollywood was supposed to make a film about the scandal starring Bill Murray. But my question to you both, did Michael Larson cheat? Is memorizing an algorithm cheating?
Fuck no, he screwed the system. It's like playing 21 and card counting. It's frowned upon.
It's, you know what? It might be frowned upon, but that's on the show. I don't think on the show.
How do you only have five algorithms? Exactly. I only have five little. Yeah, they made the mistake. Yeah.
It was their mistake to run. I mean, having two is not a good. Having two, the same two or three patterns is bad enough, but you have five different patterns. I mean, I know that's supposed to throw you off. No, he there was nothing that he did wrong. You did the thank you for telling the story because I didn't want to. did he get to keep the money? Did he keep it?
He did. He did keep the money. He made a couple of bad investments. They said,
like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's what they told him. They said, well, the producers were pissed because they were like, usually, especially this was the 80s, so the cap off was about 25 grand for like a really good show. And this guy had four times that amount. So what the producers thought was, well, this could be terrible news for us. Or we could really amp up the show and say, you're not going to believe this humble contestant from this small town in Ohio and what he did. So they ran the show once and they never ran a rerun of it. And what I heard about the contestant is that he went on to make a series of bad investments. He died in 1999. And as a sort of like a remembrance of him, they invited his brother for a show in 1999. His brother won. And so the Michael Larson story is interesting because there was a lot of like side deals at the end, some bad investments. I think he was working with some shady people. He had his house burglarized by his ex-girlfriend, supposedly. So the movie was going to be good. It was going to be more about his personal life than it was about the game show because he only appeared. Yeah, he only appeared at one show. But I mean, yeah, it's an interesting story.
I don't think he did anything wrong. It's all on the show for not, you know, mixing it up. And I think, but personally, I think like if he had gone 15 spins without landing on a whammy, I think I might have like, okay.
What the fuck's going on? Yeah.
The wheels would have been turning. Like, okay. And then you get to.
And they could have capped it off. Yeah, they could have capped him after 20. Wait a minute. Okay, like, all right, you're at 20. It's time for the next guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. They could cap them off.
He kept on landing on big money amounts with extra spins. So his spins kept on accumulating and accumulating.
Any normal person would have been like, something's going on here. How is this happening?
An iconic fucking host would have called his ass out like Bob Barker. Pointed that little skinny mic in his face and said, you are wrong, sir. It's time to stop. Cut the shit.
Anybody listening could listen to or could watch the episode on YouTube. Just type in Michael Larson, press your luck, and you could see this incredible run that he had figuring out the, and he was one guy that wasn't talking to the board. And you could tell he was so nervous by like the 20th spin. His hands are shaking over the buzzer. So he's yelling, stop.
Eyes, like, yeah. Counting. Like, yeah. You watch his eyes, like, you know, and he's watching the pattern. Like, I mean, it's crazy, but
yeah, that's just genius shit. I mean, who could blame him? It's their fault, right?
Or Bob, did you want to add anything? Or did you?
No, man. I think, like I said, it's your show. It's a really great pick. I remember I watched a lot. I love the animation.
That's right. I forgot about your answer, Bob. Sorry. Hey,
way to go, asshole. No, I'm just kidding. All right. But I think that the only thing that it lacks, Joseph, is a host. I think that there's not an iconic host for the show. The show really is about the whammies and the animation. This cool story being like, you know, something really cool that most people didn't know about, but if the show had this iconic host or something extra spectacular, I'd be all on board with it. I did love the show. I did watch it a lot when I was a kid, but it's just missing that, we'll call it the Bob Barker factor.
All right.
I think Elizabeth Banks is pretty good. I think she's...
I think you're staring at the wrong thing.
We'll go
whammies. What whammies?
There's a game board on there? Okay. So we'll go on with a final pick, and I've selected for best game show, Family Feud, a show created by Mark Goodson, which features two families who compete to name the most popular answers to survey questions in order to win cash and prizes. One of my old co-workers who recently retired, her family was on the show about two summers ago and they won. So personal connection to this. It was fun to hear about her adventure. She shared everything with us after the show aired. Family Feud had its share of hosts. The OG, Richard Dawson, 2 years after it left the air, it revived with Ray Combs as the host, who was a comedian. If you want to read a tragic story about a game show host, read about Ray Combs. He lost his job and the spiral he had afterwards. Just check out his Wikipedia page. Just really tragic stuff about the second host, Ray Combs. Louis Anderson was the third host. Then Richard Carnes, who was Al from Home Improvement. And then our fourth game show host with John O'Hurley, who was Jay Peterman from Seinfeld. And now, present day, we're with Steve Harvey. Harvey becoming the host in 2010 increased the Nielsen rating significantly and eventually placed the program among the top three most popular syndicated TV shows in the U.S. Harvey also surpassed every previous host in tenure. And although Dawson hosted more episodes of the show, Harvey is now the face of Family Feud. I never found Steve Harvey funny in his stand-up. I always thought he was trying to be Richard Pryor, but this show made me a huge fan of Steve Harvey. I love Steve Harvey. This is his lane, his reactions, and his game face. This is where he belongs. Interesting notes. Joey Fatone of NSYNC was the show's studio announcer for 5 years. By the way, can I take a little time to praise Joey Fatone? The man never complained or said anything disparaging about his band breaking up because, you know, NSYNC's in the news now with their reunion. He took several unconventional celebrity jobs, small movie roles. He'd go to these conventions and he did it all with a smile. He aged gracefully, gray hair, and put on some weight. I'm so happy he gets to rejoice. And finally, he gets paid what he's worth once this expected reunion tour gets going. Now that they don't have a crooked manager running them, they could do things their own way, can't NSYNC. I think nobody is happier about the Britney Spears and Janet Jackson documentaries that expose Justin Timberlake more than Joey Fatone. Why? Because Timberlake's PR team, very smart. Lay low for a year, Justin. Then reunite with your old band, and the millennial women will automatically forget all the horrible things they thought of you because nostalgia and reliving their youth. So excellent PR work. And I'm glad Joey Fatone is getting a chance at a comeback as well. Anyway, back to Family Feud.
Way to go, Joey. If you're listening, call me.
back to Family Feud. Within a year of its debut, the original version became the number one game show on daytime television. My only complaints, the survey numbers are arbitrary. I don't think they're really surveying anyone. I always pictured some dude walking around like the lot with a clipboard. I don't think that was happening. Also, when they do celebrity shows, they'll have questions like, name something you wear on your feet. Name a crayon color. Name a letter of the alphabet. We get it. Famous people are usually stupid. So we know that you want them to win money for their charity. So anyway, but don't be so deliberate. Still though, let's look at the facts. It's entertaining. So what if the questions are geared towards Steve Harvey saying something funny or his reactions? That's entertainment. We're supposed to laugh and have fun with these contestants. The money is adequate to the skill level. Family Feud doesn't believe in inflation. It's if $5 a point was good in 1975, it's good in 2023. The real Family Feud is how to divide the prize money after taxes and fees. After all is said and done, you might be able to buy yourself a decent laptop or a television. What the hell do you expect from answering questions like name a popular Thanksgiving side dish? I mean, you're not going to win millions of dollars. And of course, and even though the hosts don't kiss women anymore, thank you, Louis Anderson, the answers are more sexual now than ever. I mean, it's prime time, right? The format will never go out of style. It evolves with time. Fellas, to me, this is the best game show ever. What are your thoughts?
I'll say this. It is the funniest, and that's because of the questions and the responses. I think the responses are great. I think they're hilarious. I crack up because you never want to be the one that goes on this show with like your in-laws or something like that, because if you say something stupid, you know they're never going to let you live that shit down. You can see that, you know, the older folks that are at the end, and when like the grandson or somebody goes and says something stupid, the grandfather's like, this motherfucker, I told his mom not to bring this motherfucker. Jesus Christ, yeah, he lost this shit for us. I love the speed round at the end. Like, of course, we did that at the beginning of the show. I think that's great. I love the quick answers, quick responses. But this has got to be, I mean, this is where you watch these shows and you're like, dude, how have we survived for this long? Some of the fucking answers just, they blow my mind. I mean, I don't know if people are just blanking or they're just nervous because they're on TV.
It's difficult, yes.
Like, they ask and they say them and you're like, what the fuck was that? What do you mean, dude? Again, the hosting is a big part of game shows in my mind. And I love Steve Harvey. And Richard Dawson is just amazing. But I think they've just had so many different hosts after hosts after hosts and revamping the show. I think that takes away from it just a bit. I wish there was one, like, you know, for a long period of time. And, you know, if there is two, I get that. But there's been, what, like five, we want to say?
I think six, yeah.
There's five or six. Jeez, man. I wish. I do feel like Steve Harvey's found his lane because he's all reactionary. He reacts, you know, hilariously to a lot of the comments and the answers and the antics of the people. You know, good answer. That's the only thing. That's another thing that bothers me. But good answer. Everybody knows it's a shit answer. Everybody knows it's a crap. And there's the family still clapping. It's a good answer. It's not. You know, it's not. The best thing, though, this is the best thing about it. I love this part. When they're trying to steal the round, they go through everybody, the last person in the line. Okay, what would you do if, what would you see or whatever? They give him a topic, right? What do you do just before you go to bed? And everybody gives their answer. You know, pray. Okay, pray. Yeah, pray. That's a good answer. Yeah, you pray. Yeah, you pray. Pray. And then they get to the first guy and he's like, I watch TV. And everybody's like, what the fuck? We just gave you the game-winning answer and you come up with something different. What the fuck? And then when he gets an X, they're like, dude, you stupid bastard. We said it. And then it pops up. What was it? It was pray. You stupid bastard. Why the fuck didn't you go? Five other people told you what the answer was, bro. You still went with your own shit. You selfish bastard. So, that's one of my favorites. What do you think about it, Joe?
This is obviously another great pick. I mean, all of them are great picks, I think. Is this the longest tenure of the three? No.
Price is Right. Is right.
Yeah, 56.
Yeah.
Well, this one's been on for a long time, too.
75, I think, yeah.
And without, like, a long break. So that's cool because, like, you know, I know my selection, I'm talking about the more recent one. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, hadn't been around for a while. Yeah, Steve Harvey, man. I think if you know, at least with the new format, and because the questions have gotten a little more funny, a little more I don't want to say adult oriented, but they're definitely not afraid to go that way, to maybe get, you know, a contestant to say something like sit on my face. But but yeah, okay, if you want to, like, I can see that part too with Bob, with the, you know, Bob, he used kind of that argument for both of these. Like, yes, Bob Barker was so iconic. This is one of the most iconic hosts and on that show. This one with the six hosts, you know, I think Ray Combs was more our generation. I remember watching the show when we were younger. We remember Ray Combs most of all. I didn't pay attention to the Louis Anderson stuff. Richard Carr, nothing against him. Love Al from Home Improvement, but I just didn't see it working with him. But I think he still does game show stuff, maybe for the network. John O'Hurley, that's the one that I probably would like. I can't.
Yeah, he's lower. Yeah,
it just doesn't work for
him. He's got a great voice, though. He's got a great voice.
Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah, I love his stuff from Seinfeld. Anyway, but yeah, Steve Harvey's definitely, like, he's taking this thing and he's basically made it his own, aside from Richard Dawson, but we only know Richard Dawson for his behavior. But yeah, it's a great show.
And his suit's Joseph and his pinky ring
and his suit,
a little cocaine.
I love
Botany 500. Yes,
I love Keenan's impressions of him when on SNL. Listen, player. No, wait, I think that's a mess. I think he told him, he's like, hey man, you need to cut that shit out.
Steve Harvey told him that to Keenan.
I think he told him, like, hey, man, you know I don't do a lot of that shit. You're over-exaggerating.
Dude, Keenan's over-exaggerated. Yeah, dude, he does a great fucking Steve Harvey family.
But, like, he told it to him jokingly. He's like, hey, man, like, come on. But anyway. But, yeah, no, this is it's a very entertaining show. I like the regular one better. Although sometimes I wish, like, obviously the celebrity one is for charity and that's nice, but like nowadays what they call celebrity, this group of people, that's who you went with anyway. But you can't get like massive celebrities to appear on Family Feud.
They just get like the Kardashians.
Yeah, you get what you can.
Fuckers are on everything.
I have a funny celebrity Family Feud. I remember they had NFL players, and you know that they tailor these answers because somebody's going to say something funny. I think comic writers are coming up with these questions. So the question was, name something that you pull out, and Percy Harvin said, myself. Steve Harvey was like,
oh, shit. Name a word that describes your spouse. Wet. That's the one I saw in the fucking the wife, I think, is right next to hit him or something. Fuck up. Can I ask you a question about? Let me ask him about Family Feud. What's up with all the poses? Whether the Rodriguez family, they're all posing like a portrait.
It's supposed to be a portrait, yeah.
Why the fuck did they do that? I never liked that part.
It's funny because of what factors into what people like is the people being stupid and Steve Harvey. Reaction to these
questions.
And he's not afraid. He's not afraid to call him out. You see that one where the girl's bouncing her boobs in front of the guy, and he's like, oh, 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 and he's like, hey man, is that your wife?
Your wife's right there. What the fuck's wrong with me? Yeah, that was hilarious, dude.
That's a good one, yes.
So, it's like, what the fuck's the matter with you, man? What's crazy is it made it to air.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I think that alone definitely puts it up, you know, as far as, you know, iconic game shows. It has its moments. We just did it right, you know, a little portion of it right now, and it is a little tough to think of things on the spot. I know we were at home, like, saying our own answers and, like, saying, like, how the fuck could you say that? But yeah, I agree with, you know, Bob. Sometimes there's some stupid. One of the things that I don't like is when they, you know, it's like family and there's like, this is my wife and this is my brother and this is my gardener. And it's like just some random person. This is my cousin's best friend's, you know, whatever. I'm like, who the fuck is that? And how did you get him on the show? But I don't know. So
he's very smart.
Great show, funny show, I think, and like I said, Steve Harvey's kind of made it his own thing, and now it's like, okay, if Steve Harvey doesn't want to do the show anymore, who does it? Like, you know, it's kind of crazy how it's become his own thing. I think it's more entertaining now that it's a primetime thing, so that helps it. Definitely a great pick, man.
Excellent. So guys, last thoughts on game shows.
Yeah, I can't live without them, man. I wish that they would come up with some more original stuff, something new, something, you know, Deal or No Deal. I know they brought that up. I know there's a lot of reality TV, you know, maybe it's based off of all these game shows. Maybe we have them to blame or them to thank, you know, for all the reality TV shows we have now. But it'd be cool to see, you know, something original come out. I do really like that what's it called? Holding One with Steph Curry. I think that was a creative one. That's a cool one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But yeah, it'd be really cool to see something new come out, man. Something iconic. That'd be great.
There's this new show with Josh Duhamel. Is that how you pronounce it?
Duhamel.
I just saw it Thursday. I'm actually really into like some of the new. I'm okay.
You're really
with
into Josh Duhamel.
No, I'm okay with the new stuff. Like there's a show called Tough as Nails. I like to watch. People from all, you know, kinds of trades, like mechanics, you know, firemen and women, police officers, engineers. All kinds of stuff come and compete, you know, in different like manual labor tasks, basically, you know, of different, you know, trades, and the winner takes home a pretty good amount of money. It's actually really cool. It's good to show watch. But going back to Josh Duhamel, I'm sorry, real quick. He just did
handsome,
Buddy Games.
He's handsome, I know. Fucking handsome. Goddamn.
And actually, Buddy Games is something I would like to do with you guys. Buddy Games. It's like a bunch of like backyard obstacle games with your friends.
I could see a pulled hamstring or a broken ankle.
And then apparently he did two movies based on this concept. It's like what he does. He's done this for years with his friends. He gathers all his friends and they do all these obstacle course type games in a, you know, wide open space.
That's fun,
space.
Man. That'd be awesome.
And we
do it in water, low impact.
And it was actually entertaining. So I was like, you know what? I'm not too sure about the, I mean, because Game Show Network exists and there's like so many shows on that channel that you don't even know. And there's
nobody mentioned Fear Factor. I'm surprised that nobody.
Oh, yeah. Good show. Yeah.
I've seen some gross shit. What would you eat a spider like that, Joseph? That's fucking gross. I'd probably be the first one to like, nah, fuck that.
I'd be like, you know what? I don't need this. Yeah, right. I'll go back to work.
Yeah, I'll go back to work. Fuck this.
You know, I will say this about game shows, and Bob, you gave us a perfect example of the pressure of not knowing anything and being put on the spot and then talking about it afterwards. Well, yeah, of course, that answer was better than my answer. But when you consider like the lights and the audience and the famous host and the music, that pressure is immense. So when we see these these people screw up on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or Family Feud or Match Game or $10,000 Pyramid, there's a lot more into it than us sitting in the living room saying, well, what a fucking idiot, how did they not say this, you know?
I don't armchair know quarterback. I focus like with Elizabeth Banks right there.
Oh, Josh Jamel.
That's not a whammy that popped up anyway. So I mean, and game shows sort of dominate our, like, even our subconscious. Like, we joked about it where we had talked about our fantasy football league, like, how are we going to determine the number one pick, and somebody suggested, why don't we pull out a slip and slide and see who slides the furthest.
Fucking awesome.
So like these game show aspects, they just dominate our lives because we're so into them as we were growing up and we were so exposed to them. They will never go away. I mean, I love watching them in the summer when there's no programming and they show a bunch of game shows in just bunches, you know, and we'll have the next big game show sometime soon. I think it's been a while since we've had a show impact us like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But I mean, those classic lineups in the morning, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. PM like we used to. We won't have that again, but what a fun nostalgia trip.
Yeah, definitely.
That's our show, everyone. Listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Hit us up and let us know what your favorite game show is. Most importantly, let us know what you think about the show. You may reach us at formidableopponents@gmail.com and follow us on all forms of social media by searching for Formidable Opponents. We want to thank Creative Little Pill for her great artwork. Please follow her on Instagram @CreativeLittlePill. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on any podcast platform you're listening to us on. Join us next episode. We'll be back in 2 and 2. That's 2 weeks with our special 100th episode. We've made it, fellas. For Bob and Joseph, this is Randall. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bum, 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 bum.
Richard Dawson, you are the man.
Stay away from our ants.
Grandma, no.